CliffCentral.com.
I'm actually looking at you, Gareth, and it's quite weird to see the whole of you.
I know, for me. I know.
I actually, the anxiety of like needing my computer right now. I almost didn't know how to behave in the studio.
No, it's
and
about,
I actually do think I need my computer, so I can come in.
It's about goddamn time we get back in. Anyway, so I thought we'd do it this morning because we've got two really special guests and Pumi. I mean, you thought I did it for you.
No, actually, I thought it was one of our guests because I thought he's so unused to waking up this early in the morning that he had to document the whole thing. But that's okay.
He's not unused to it. I mean, he was on ENCA the other day.
Early in the morning?
Early. I saw him on, I mean, he would have had to get there at like 6, which is exactly what we wanted. He is the famous Eugene Kwaza. We'll get him in here in a moment. But I was thinking, first of all, I wasn't sure what to wear because Pumi's been too hot or too cold, like Goldilocks, for the last, I don't know, 10 shows that she's been in studio. So I never know whether it's going to be freezing. So I brought this huge, big-ass jacket, which I've got in the car.
Yeah,
I thought now
there's lights here today. So the lights make everything warmer.
It looks good. The studio looks good. I just want to give credit to Michael and to Ryan and to Homolemo for like getting the studio going again, because it feels a bit weird to be back here. I feel like this is a proper radio show again.
Whereas, but it's not really radio.
Well, that's it. But it feels to me like the old kind of radio show that I used to do rather than just a podcast show. Anyway, listen, I mean, what's the difference, right? I see lots of comments coming in this morning. Studio looking good. People talking about it. That looks weird, says Nico. Styling. Gareth drove to work. Woo, old normal. Wow, gee, I thought that bookcase was attached to your back. God to hell, Gavin. Marco says, looking sick, Gareth. Thank you, Marco. Don't touch Cliff in his central studio. Okay, very nice, Sanelle.
Right. Somebody brought that video back onto the timeline the other day. Like I saw it on Twitter. Don't touch me on my studio.
Oh God, that's hilarious. Who was that again?
I'd actually forgotten about that whole thing. You know, we've been through so much as a country.
I know. And we have historical trauma and then we have recent trauma.
I think the recent trauma guy is like, the recent trauma is also because you don't recognize it as trauma.
Oh my
like
God.
I think historical trauma, we kind of recognize it as like historical and it's like traumatic. We get it. It was this recent stuff.
Oh, we've had a little bit of time to work out like some of the reasons we feel the way we do about like before. But now, like we're still going through it, right? You said you had too much electricity this week. You didn't know what to do with it.
yeah, like for the weekend, yo. For the weekend.
What did you do?
So on Sunday mornings, I usually go for a walk for exercise. Not okay. Go for a walk for about an 8-kilometer walk in the neighborhood. And I ordinarily, when I go for the walk, it's because the lights are off.
Mm.
And so.
What else are you going to do?
There's also like Joburg, all the generators are on. But all the generators are on.
It's the background music of Johannesburg.
This past Sunday when I went for the walk, there was no,
I want to stop you. I've just figured something out that these idiots couldn't figure out the whole time. It's like the reason that we struggle with your volume on your mic is you're sitting so far away from it. Pull that thing closer to you.
Oh, they just put it here.
No. Put it closer, clenched fist away from there. There we go.
There we go.
Look at you. You sound beautiful. See you, idiots. This is all you had to do.
They were like, just sit in this chair. Don't touch anything, says Pumi.
No, you
can't. Anyway, and this past Sunday when I went for the walk, the air was so clean and crisp. It rained the night before. There was no generator, like smog in the air. You could see for ages. And I was just like,
let me tell you, global warming has been contributed more to by South Africans in the last while with all of our generators and diesel and everything else. And, of course, remember, when our coal-fired power stations don't work because there's no coal, what do? Put in diesel. Mm. So coal's bad, but diesel's just as bad, if not worse. So, I mean, don't come to me with your COP22, climate change
I think
program.
It's 27 now.
Whatever it is. Nobody's keeping track. Do you see Greta Thunberg? Just by the way, I took a screenshot of this. She's just come out and as an all-out leftist now. She's not even bothering to hide the ball. She says, she used to say her goal was to protect the planet, but she now admits it is to overthrow the whole capitalist system. So the leopard has finally shown its spots. This little bitch. I always told you couldn't trust her. I told you couldn't trust this miserable little girl from Sweden. This Fikriminus. This grumpy.
What?
Fikriminus. It's a Yiddish word for a angry, cross, argumentative, just a negative, nasty person that you don't want to be around. Mm. That's what she's like. I mean, just look at the facial expression. Find me a picture of her where she isn't scowling. I double dare you. You won't find one. Anyway, she says now she wants to overthrow the whole capitalist system, which she says is responsible for imperialism, oppression, genocide, racist, oppressive extractionism. I mean, aren't those just a chain of buzzwords that just prove to you straight up that Greta Thunberg can be disregarded now? By the way, this is one of the people who got Europe into the fix that it's in now. They're going to have a very nice cold winter all over Europe because of Greta Thunberg's influence. I have climate policy for you, and you must follow it, because how dare you if you don't? You are ruining my childhood. You are ruining my future. And how can I live in Sweden and only take first-class travel to go to all these conferences if you are ruining the planet for me? I reserve a special place in my heart for Greta. You can tell I love her to pieces.
Gareth, how do you do that? Sound like a Swedish teenage girl.
And switch it on. There's obviously a part of me in some past life that was a Swedish teenage girl. All right, let's get Eugene Koza in here. Is he here? Okay, beautiful. Let's bring this man in. I met his friend Homotson at the garage while I was buying you your coffee, Pumi.
I'm so happy with this coffee, Yon.
I'm so glad.
Thank you.
I met Eugene's friend Homotson, and he was telling me about when they went to ENCA the other day. See, Eugene is such a big deal now in comedy and everywhere else. This man is such a big deal that he rolls with a crew.
Have you seen? Entourage. The word is an entourage.
The man has an entourage. No. He's got an entourage. He's got fucking people with him wherever he goes. Look at this guy and look at that beard. You are glorious. Huh? Glorious. What a man. What a man. Look at you. Hello, Eugene Koza.
Entourage. Do you have a buzz about your entourage?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You have a crew? Do you have a hype man?
I have a crew because we're shooting a film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are we going to be in your film?
Film.
Are we going to be in your film?
Yes, this film, you guys will be in it.
Oh, that's magic.
Yeah.
You better get a release from Pumi. She's very particular about what she's appearing
in. Yeah.
You can only shoot me from one
also,
one
Pumi
direction.
She dishes out compliments like, oh, willy-nilly. She was there hyping Sipiwe's coffee up and everything.
Oh, no, it wasn't Sipiwe's coffee that she was hyping up.
Oh!
No. See, I stopped and I bought as many as I could carry.
I know. Komutso saw you at the
garage. I know. We had a chat. We talked about how great you are, by the way.
Oh, danko.
So let's start off with that.
They're such great friends. Well, first of all, they will wake up at this time to accompany you and help shoot your film. And they like meet strangers at the garage and compliment you.
You know, every time someone says that, I'm like, every time someone calls me about Gareth, I don't hesitate. I just say yes. That's a measure of wanting to.
You mean you don't go, what? That old racist. You don't say that to the
Republican.
Yeah. The fuck are you doing? I'm not going to go there. So listen, the thing that Homotso and I were talking about was you.
Yes.
I walked in to, and I never watch TV in the morning.
Yeah.
But I turned on the TV at about like 8:10, 8:15 on Friday morning last week.
Mm.
And who do I see on TV but you? You're an ENCA.
Yes.
I actually took a picture of it, but I'm not going to try and find it now. I was like, I was going to send it to you and say to you, what are you doing? Like, why are you up so early to be on a show that has three viewers? But you did it. What was that for? What were you promote what you were promoting there and get the money's worth. At least here you'll get some people to listen.
We're talking about my new stand-up show, Step Aside.
Ah.
It's happening tomorrow. The 4th of November, right? At Gold Reef City Lyric Theatre.
Tomorrow.
What
look at this.
What perfect timing to... Yeah, exactly.
I don't believe in perfect time. The universe is always conspiring.
So I don't believe that he woke up specially, came here out of the goodness of his heart.
hang out with us in the
He's
studio.
Here to sell tickets.
I'm here to peddle wares.
I love it.
Okay, guys, listen, please buy his tickets.
I'm sure you're already sold out, though. I mean,
we're getting there.
You must be close to it.
We're getting there.
So
I don't like the word sold out. It's so...
Aibo.
Yeah, man, it feels like you're clickbaiting people. You know, there's 2% tickets left. Yeah?
Why, when he's quit The Daily Show, does Trevor get a big billboard here on Rivonia Road, but you don't get for your show that you've been slogging? You know, it's like the exiles during apartheid, right?
It's the almighty.
You remember the exiles like Thabo and KwaZazana and the Pahads and everyone? They went off to University of Sussex and they had a more or less good time, right? And lived in fancy apartments, and they went on their, you know, went on their tour.
We're in corduroy jackets.
Meanwhile, the guys who went to Robben Island and slogged and stayed and made it work and made the difference and suffered. Those guys, they don't get the credit that Tabo gets.
Well, that's how it works in life.
I think you should have a billboard. I really do.
It's coming from your lips to God's ears. Right.
Okay. So Eugene, tell us what's been happening with you, man. It's been a while since we caught up.
A lot has been happening in life, most importantly. Last time we spoke, I was in PE, remember?
Yes.
When I was in the dark.
Mm.
I lived in PE for a year.
That's awful.
Right. Why were you in exile?
Yes.
Also in exile.
Right by the beach. I decided to live there for a year, rented a house right at the ocean.
So you just upped your whole life and decided I'm going to try something different.
Yes. It all happened in a week. I woke up one day and I felt like something's got to give, you know?
Okay, but let me just check here because I know you. I know you have. It wasn't you. You made that decision out of choice. A lot of people ended up having to move during the pandemic out of necessity.
Okay.
Like they ran out of money or they had to move back with their folks or family or friends or whatever. So a lot of people had to do that anyway. But I mean, it's quite nice to exile yourself to a different environment, beach. Mm. Obviously, clear your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're the kind of guy, and I mean, I can say this, I hope, because I've known you long enough.
Mm.
You need a certain kind of environment. You're very zen.
Mm.
When you write new material, I'm sure you need to have a clear mind. You can't have distractions and noise and bullshit in your life. Is that one of the reasons
you did? Absolutely. That was one of those. I also had suffered a great loss 5 years ago. And then the month before I moved, I'd lost one of my best friends, Moyikwa Sisulu.
Mm.
You know, he had just tragically passed away. And the sad thing about it is I had missed his call 2 days before he passed away in hospital. And that was just horrible for me. And I just picked up the phone. I Googled the first beach house I could find. It was a house in PE. I called the agent. She said, why would you want to come live here? It's a village. And what she wanted to say, there's no black people.
Yeah.
And then,
and
then a week later,
some neighborhood.
The moving truck was at my house and I left and I lived there for a year.
That's amazing.
And what
that's
I found.
That's ballsy, right, Pumps?
Yeah.
It was, very scary when I was in the house. You know, I looked at this gigantic house and I was like, what am I doing in
here? Did you get a big house?
Of course he did. Don't you know he has money?
No.
All right. I need to when you're up and leaving.
He has money. This is not some, some corner stall comedian.
No. This is not about the money, yo. I'm just saying, if you're like, eat, pray, loving your life away, right? You're just like, you're letting go of all these things.
Yes.
You also... Well, probably just kind of shedding.
You see, you're wrong. You're associating minimalism and non-materialism with clearing your mind.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to clear your mind in a sports car rather than, if you can, obviously, rather than in a skogok.
Yeah. And you know what? The funny thing is about that. I end up living in 2 bedrooms or in 2 rooms of that house, the living room, the kitchen and the bedroom. So I stayed there for a year. In that year, I thought of comedy and I was listening to a lot of Wayne Dyer.
Oh, yeah.
And I kid you not, most of the things that he said were true because I started thinking about the things that I wanted. I imagined myself before my birthday being in New York. I imagined myself doing stand up in New York. I wrote it down in a diary. I imagined myself getting a production deal to do a show. I imagined myself writing a training program.
Wayne Dyer is the guy who like manifests. He's that philosopher.
He's the godfather of New Age spiritualism.
Right.
And I wrote it all down after watching him for weeks and weeks and weeks. I wrote it literally all down and it started happening. I wrote a training program for a huge insurance company. I started training people all over the country. Just from living in PE, I wrote shows that are now being commissioned in LA. and New York as well. I'm working with some of the biggest comedians now producing the stand-up documentaries. One of them is going to be directed by Soleil Moon Frye. So we're going to go around the world. So I was in New York 2 weeks ago and I got to perform in the biggest clubs in the world.
No wonder you got a crew.
And, hey.
And I thought, and I wrote that I want to do a stand-up one-man show. So when the opportunity came, this experiment actually is happening because we wanted to see. There's never been done that someone puts on a one-man show in a big theater in 6 weeks without media marketing, without a sponsor. So we wanted to do it, wanted to show that it's possible. So I said to myself, when someone watches this 10 years from now and it's a kid who thinks they want to do stand-up comedy, I want them to have the resolve to know that it's possible, that if 3 people show up, that's a stand-up show. If 1,000 people show up, that's a stand-up show as well. So, you know, this ego death thing is very important.
Yes.
Because we get so caught up in how much is this going to make me?
Right.
What are people going to think of it?
And so afraid of failing.
So afraid of failing.
All of us.
You know, right. I talk about you all the time to people and I say, Gareth is my hero because he didn't only give up an audience, he gave himself up for his audience.
Wow, you make me sound like Jesus. Yeah. It was much easier than that. I just left a lot of shit behind.
Yes.
Took the good people with me.
Yes, but exactly. But the bravery to say I'm going to talk to my people when I feel like talking to them is a lot of a courage that a lot of people don't have. We have a lot of good people that are talented in so many ways, but they are so caught up in what the thing brings them.
I love what you said now. You said if 3 people pitch up, it's a stand-up comedy show.
Yes.
You know, we are so worried, especially in a world of social media, about numbers. Like how many people have viewed our, you know, videos, how many people have subscribed to our channel. Yes. And I always have to ask.
Like and subscribe.
They remind me every morning that I have to say like and subscribe because I don't do that.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really look at the numbers.
Yes.
And thank God, because I'd go crazy if I did, right?
Yes.
But we're all obsessed with this now. And you can see even like teenagers, Pumi, you've got a son and I don't know because you're his mom, so you probably have raised him right and he's got some balance in his life.
Does he love coffee?
No pressure.
No pressure, but,
yes.
But these kids are so dependent on how many people are liking what they're doing, how many of their friends see what they post. Their real life takes a second place to their virtual life.
Yeah.
And I think this is a serious thing we're going to have to deal with in the future.
It's lack of exposure. I think you travel a lot. And you notice that when you travel, you see things differently. And when you come back to a country that you live in after you've traveled, you sit there and you go, what are you guys doing? You know, there's another world that exists out there. Mm. 3 weeks ago, I was at the Comedy Cellar and I kid you not, we were sitting at a table and then Mike Birbiglia walked in and then he was wearing a cardigan and a gray shirt and he was about to try out a new set. This is a man who a week later was going to have a show in Broadway.
Jesus.
And his conversation to us sitting on the table was, I wonder how this show is going to go. I wonder if people are going to pitch up. Yesterday, I read that the first week is sold out and now they're doing 3 more weeks in Broadway. Larry David showed up at his show.
Amazing.
So Sam Morrell was also there going, geez, I wonder how things are going to go. This is a guy who just recorded a special that everyone rejected and he put on YouTube and it became a hit. And now 2 days ago, he released, he's doing the whole US. So I say to people, you just don't realize how big the world is. And if you contain yourself in the negative energy that you're around or in the smallness of it all, that's what you're going to get. You got to get the smallness of it all. But when you go out there and see what's happening, I wish I could do that for everyone that wants to try new things and expose them to people that are doing it at the highest level and realize the humanity in it, the fear is all real. A guy that's selling a show in Broadway is as nervous as a guy who's selling a show at Lyric Theatre.
Pumi, what if this documentary that Eugene's filming now, what if this is our zenith moment? Like, what if this is the most famous we'll ever be? What if people, like, we are like cameos in his documentary? What if one day people go, remember those two people? In Eugene's documentary.
They'll never be like, remember those two, okay? Because that in itself would be like something. They'll be like, you know when you're watching Eugene's documentary, he's in the studio and he's having this epiphanies. You remember? They'll be like, he's in the studio. Whose studio? What station?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm so happy that for the first studio show I've done since March 2020, it's you because
thank you.
I was very nervous about coming in here and you know, we often have guests and especially for the Burning Platform, which we do at 7 and it's all political and all of that stuff. But to have someone in here who, where it feels a bit more like home, Because this place has felt very clinical for me. I've come in and it's been my office rather than my studio for the last three years.
Gotcha.
And now, you know, I'm in the studio again and it feels comfortable. Yeah. And if it had been some guest who I didn't know very well or someone who we had to figure out and, you know, you kind of, because you do that little dance when you meet people.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
He's arrived here this morning.
Oh, God. And he's all like spewing all these gems. You know, this one.
Oh, yeah.
He's arrived here this morning.
I'm going to say, if you're talking about
throwing
me,
it all out there.
Are you high? But you are.
Throwing it all out there. It's just, you see, this all his Zen moments, all his PE beach, sitting and walking on the beach,
all
writing
the time.
Down the stuff.
Yes.
You know.
For me, this is why he's so interesting to talk to. He doesn't have to be, and he could be. Making us roll on the floor with laughter. He can do that. That's his superpower. But the guy also has a really firm grasp on reality. Like, he's always been like this. In fact, I reckon that for you, it must be a bit tiring when people expect, make us laugh. Mm. It must be pretty exhausting for you.
I appreciate it to a certain extent. Oh, sorry, Pumi, you wanted to say?
No.
To a certain extent, I appreciate it. But I always say to people, I've never thought of myself as funny. I think there's funnier people than me everywhere. And I always like hanging around with people that make me think or make me laugh. Now, those are two of my categories, you know. And I've been blessed enough to have a daughter that makes me do both of those things, you know. And I have
How old
friends.
Is she now?
She's 14 now, just turned 14 in September.
Have boys come to the house yet?
No, but she tells me about them all the time and laughs so hard.
What are you going to do when it's going to happen where there's going to be a boyfriend you don't approve of? What kind of a father are you going to be about?
I think I'm going to be a father that my mother was to me. You know, my mother always said to me, you know what your superpower is? And I said, what is it? She said, your ability to try again.
Oh, that's great. So she thought this guy's going to fail a lot.
A lot.
To try again.
Yeah, she prepared me for it. You know, she prepared me for it. She said, your superpower is you can always try and try and try again. And in relationships, I apply the same model. Uh-huh. In work, I apply the same. When I quit work and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do without this money? And I think I can always try again and I can always start over. So with her, it's going to be the same thing. Whenever I look at people who are dating, because I've dated people's daughters before, I'm someone else's son.
Yeah.
You know, what I do with my limited knowledge of the world when I'm dating someone, it's not a reflection of my parents' upbringing. So I'm going to be that person because I want to appreciate, because I also think males are not given a chance in life. I think, because I'm a black male. So I know what it feels like to be a black male. I'll never speak on behalf of women and how they feel about their experiences. But I know myself. I know that I grew up in an environment where being black and male is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So I know that the skepticism of it all, when you see a young black male with your daughter, it mustn't be me expecting the worst out of them. That's someone else's son. Because I've been given the grace of being given the benefit of a doubt, and here I am today. So I'm a big advocate of giving young black men a chance to be great black men. Mm. And I want to be part of that change because I've seen how... Have you seen the suicide rate for black men?
It's higher than anyone else. That's the category where most...
Because if you speak to most black men, they'll tell you no one cares.
Well, it's true. No one cares. You look at the, now again, I'm not going to go into territory which is immediately going to get us into trouble on Thursday morning.
I can advocate for you. I can give you a pass for the day.
Yeah, but you see, you can't because we've seen this happen, right? Where like some white person who has no understanding of this stuff gets one of their black friends to come in and say the stuff that they can't say. I don't want to do that.
Yes.
What I want to say. I don't want to. I reckon.
I remember every time you talk, why I love you.
you've just hit on something that I think is completely underrepresented or misrepresented, especially by the media.
Yes.
Because there's this game, and you know this because you've got a son, right?
Yes.
And I saw how like you were listening intently while Eugene was saying what he was saying, because someday, you know, Kanejo is also going to be in that position where he's bringing home. He's probably already bringing home other men's daughters for you to meet, and those fathers are thinking, what I see in the media about black men makes them seem, and again, this is it's a stereotype that is perpetuated by the media, who keep telling us that they're not partisan and they don't want to oppress anybody or subjectify anybody to their own bullshit stereotype, but they do. Look at how they report things, look at how they put black men in movies, look at how they represent them in general media, social media, everywhere else.
So
the thing.
Those things are all true.
Mm-hmm.
we started this morning talking about the trauma we've been through as a country.
Yes.
Right. And I think one of the things that we often discount here at home is how very different and differently traumatized everyone is.
Everyone. Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
And so I hear your perspective because this is what you've lived through and this is your, this is
my world.
This is what you were thinking through in those three rooms in PE, right?
Yes.
But also, I think
it's. Do you ever walk around naked in those three
rooms? Never.
That is it.
Oh, big house on the beach. I imagine Eugene doing dances and like. Look at me.
Oh, sitting on ayahuasca cocktails. Oh,
you should have.
So please I've finish your thought though. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
And I think that, and I think even though all of those things are true,
yes.
One of the things that we cannot discount is the trauma that we've all lived through.
Absolutely.
In this country.
Yes.
Has created a distrust, not only of each other, but of ourselves. Right? So, like, even you're not sure all the time.
The media, again,
like, it's not helping.
I'm in the media business.
Yes.
The media has done nothing to engender trust. They've done the opposite. They have given us every reason to not trust them.
Yes.
With their fake news, with their bullshit.
They're just trying to make their money.
Their agendas, their clickbait. Yeah, but look what they're doing.
Look.
They're doing more damage than good.
They're just trying to make their money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Everybody is like clamoring for what they need in that space. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I really do think that kind of comparing what my trauma to your trauma and mine is worse and
no really, there's no
you know and I also think that kind of the we live in one of the most violent societies in the world. Black men, black women, white men, white women, Indian, all of us, right? And more than lamenting all of that, I wish we spent more time kind of going, looking forward and saying, and that's what I love about what you're saying, and saying, how do I transform me? How do I fix me? Mm. And how do I radiate that out and hopefully transform all of us?
I mean, this has to happen though at the family level because people look to politicians.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't want to get too heavy this morning.
I love heavy.
Bona, he got you. He was out there, left everything behind. He started it.
So here's where
he brought this.
Like, I got to say, like, you two are the foundation stone for this with your son and your daughter.
Yes.
Because there's no one else who can do this.
Yes.
There's no one. You can't expect, like, your municipal manager to come and get involved in the family. Like, okay, so listen, family. the Mashichos, listen, I just want to come in. Mashichos, let me just get involved here because we've got our mayor for Johannesburg coming in later on. Not her business.
Which one?
Well, exactly. Mpopalatse.
Who's here?
She's coming.
Can't believe you didn't allow that to become clickbait and just tell everybody, stay tuned to find out which one.
Which one? Well, listen, we have a thing on this show, by the way, that when someone comes on the show, they become mayor because we had...
No.
We had
Dada. Mpo,
and then we had Dada Morero.
Yes.
And then Mpo came again and she won her case.
And then she won her case that afternoon.
Mpo was one of the most stressed out ladies in the world.
So she's coming here to consolidate her wins. But what I was saying is you can't, like the family, and I don't speak as a parent. I could never. I don't have the...
But you an uncle. You see.
Yeah, but I grew up in a very lucky household where both my parents were around. They loved me.
That is true.
They paid attention. Yes. They made sure that I was free to do all the things I wanted to do, learn the things I wanted to learn. But I always knew there was a place I was loved. There was a place I could go to.
But Gareth, and this is why I'm saying to you that, but you're also an uncle.
Yeah.
You see, one of the things that I feel like we've created this thing that puts all this responsibility on
birth parents.
On fewer and fewer people.
Yeah. You're just trying to get out of your responsibility.
I'm sharing. Yeah, Gareth, sharing
you
is
can do
caring.
This too.
Sharing is caring. It's sharing with everybody. No, but really.
Just wait. It'll be five minutes, and Pumi's going to be dropping Kanejo out of your house or mine and saying, look after him.
I don't even have to drop him off. Send him in an Uber.
Exactly.
Make him another man's responsibility.
Man, woman, and child. It's all of us together. All of. No, but really. Because, you know, Gareth, you say that, right? And you. there are many, many people in this country who have grown up, and it's not just in this country, it's across the continent, in a reality where the responsibility of raising our society is all our responsibility.
Yeah.
It's, yes. You know, so it's all of us. It's not just me in my little house with my son, right? It's it's me in my house with my son. It's
are
the parents
saying,
that he sees
on television,
in the playground.
Are you
and,
saying,
you know,
are you
everybody?
Saying, are you saying it takes a village?
Imagine such a thing. Imagine such a thing.
Oh, Hillary
it
Clinton.
More than takes a village.
Hillary
more
Clinton
than a village.
Would love that you just plugged her book. Crooked Hillary. All right, so just moving on to one or two other things. We do have to pay attention to just some of the stories that are going on in the news this morning. So
you see,
we'd be remiss.
If I had my computer, we'd also probably see what
where's your computer,
people are
man?
Saying. Because now that
what people are saying,
studio,
okay, so
you know,
here's what people are saying. G-Star says, no one is responsible for your kids but you, Pumi. Wendy says, it does take a village, a community, a church, a family to influence children.
Mm-hmm.
Elon is God says, spill the beans. I hate that phrase. Basically, it removes parents from parental responsibility. But that's not what Pumi's saying.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You can defend yourself. It's not like you haven't done this before. love the studio vibe, says somebody else. People who go, in church are called mooers. You know, those people go, and the priest says something.
Hallelujah.
I do that a lot now. And it's a sign that I'm interested. If I go, because other than that, I black out and then it's over for you.
Yeah, it also keeps you awake.
I sat in a meeting.
It also keeps you awake. You have to nod. And
I sat in a meeting last week.
Yeah.
And I found myself going, you know when you,
yeah, but
you know, like that feeling where your eyelids just drop down and you're like, I'm just going to have a short, quick, like 2-minute nap. No one's going to notice. But it.
Everybody notices. This is where you stand up and make coffee. In that moment when you feel the...
See, she's got experience, which we don't, of a corporate environment.
Yes.
I mean, I know you've been in corporate environments, especially with this training.
Yes.
But you've done this for a long time.
No, I have to ask a question. You know, you're sitting here and I'm like looking at you and listening to you. Did you work as a copywriter in an ad agency?
Never. My highest qualification... in education is matric.
Me too. Well, no, I do have the political science and history, but I mean, who cares about that? that's like having a degree in being able to draw nicely. What a shit.
That's it. That's the highest qualification ever. So it happens.
So no advertising agency.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Post matric, live life, work at ShopRite, that kind of life.
That's a good life.
Yeah.
It's experience, because that's what you need, right? You need experience to be a comedian.
Yeah.
What do you do with this training?
You mean how is it applied?
Yeah, no, but like what kind of training?
No, what are you training people
what are you
for?
It's called TAP, Transition Awareness and Performance.
Alala.
Ooh, okay.
So a lot of people in corporate...
I thought it was like you're training people to do CrossFit or gymnastics.
Oh!
Shit like that. Install a jungle gym.
Recycle plastic jungle gym.
I really thought you were like training people on some kind of how to be more engaging.
No. I developed in...
It's called what? TAP?
Yeah, TAP. Transition Awareness and Performance. So a lot of people in corporate don't understand that a lot of people suffer from nerves when they have to do presentations. And a lot of business is done through presentations. People buy into you before they buy the product.
Absolutely.
So you get an expert that comes in there with all this experience and education, and they're supposed to sell themselves first. Then they get nervous and the deal is lost. And the companies lose millions and millions of rands every month because people can't get through to the client.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what TAP was about. You train them how to transition from being who they are at home to who they should be at work or in an engagement environment. And then they become aware of themselves and others and how to perform, which is ultimately what a presentation is, a performance. You're putting on this performance based on information that you know, 50% you, 25% product, and 25% others. So you have to put all of those into consideration to make one giant 100. And then that's how you have a great performance and your confidence levels increase, because at least now you know what you're doing. A lot of people freewheel.
Yeah.
Freewheelie.
And you're right about presentations. I mean, we know this already, like... It's one of the most terrifying things to people. They actually rank it. I think it's in the top five. There's divorce, moving house,
Moving house,
death in the family,
yes.
T- talking in public.
Yes.
And what was the other one?
Being mayor of Gauteng.
Dick pics. That was...
I thought it was being mayor of Gauteng. I was like, yeah.
You can be mayor of Gauteng.
Mayor of Gauteng. Mayor of the whole of Gauteng.
Mayor of Gauteng.
Of the entire.
Well, it is what... It's
entire county of Gauteng.
Really, I drove through from like halfway Centurion Midrand this morning. So yes. It's one place now.
Yes.
There's no piece of highway where there's just felt on the
you
side.
You have your own mayor over there. But then you have your own mayoral problems over there.
I've always wondered, why do we have three different mayors for a place you can get to in 15 minutes?
Correct.
It makes no sense.
Four, because we can include Mogale City.
Oh, there's Mogale City
as well. It should all be one municipality. Yeah. A lot of
listen,
work.
Listen. They're already failing at the small piece of responsibility that each of them have been given. Can they just get that one piece right?
Yes. And
once they have that one piece right, we can increase their area of responsibility.
Did I say...
You've got a 14-year-old child. You know this. You can't give them 10 instructions. You start with one instruction.
What Pumi's saying,
they give me 10 instructions.
What Pumi's saying is that mayors need to be treated like 14-year-olds. We'll put that to Paul later. We'll see how she likes that. All right. Did I say we were going to do some headlines?
Yes. Top stories.
Do headlines.
Oh, that's just quickly. Headlines. Okay, so
yes.
Apparently we are paying 305 civil servants an average of more than 430,000 rand each to just sit at home. Are you surprised by that?
No.
Sorry, how many?
305.
Wait, just only 305?
Okay. In the whole entire
305
country?
305 in a specific...
This is what we know, all right? So 305 public servants who are on suspension with full pay. I don't know how anyone gets that, but that has got to be the best job ever. Suspension with full pay. Even if they've said you've done something really terrible.
Yes, but you're at home.
But full pay. I mean, this has got to be a great way
like
to spend
it. Like a dirty cop in New York.
Yeah. So across national and provincial governments... And they are earning an average of 430,000 rand a year for a total of at least 131 million that we're paying for people to sit at home. Some are making over 2 million rand a year.
I was about to say, this tells you the level that they are job-wise in the municipality, that they're earning minimum 400,000 rand a year. Because it's not some guy who unblocks your drains here.
No. We're talking about well-paid people.
Yes, so we have a problem.
30% of the national government suspensions are in home affairs.
No, wow.
Surprise.
30%.
Yeah.
And about a third of the provincial suspensions are from which province?
Gauteng.
Yes.
Eastern Cape.
Ekurhuleni is not a province.
I know.
You see what happens when you only end up at matric.
KwaZulu-Natal. So, I mean, I want to know what... Why do we have to keep paying them?
So here's the thing. I think, and I wish people would do a little bit of like deeper investigations because this is so clickbaity, right?
Sure.
Now we're all angry. Yeah. Now we're all angry.
Like, I'm not.
300 people.
I'm happy.
All of this amount of money. They're just sitting at home. They're just sitting at home.
Anti-establishment.
Yeah. I think it's just as important to understand who those people are and why they are on suspension. Because I have a friend who, because they were fighting corruption, the bosses, have suspended her.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
All right.
And then she fought the suspension and she won. And then they're appealing.
Oh, right. So she couldn't just go back.
She can't go back to work. Right. Of course, because they don't want her back at work,
yes,
right?
But why does she want to go back to that job?
No, because, and in fact, the reason she was suspended in the first place was because she was fighting. And she's a very well-known whistleblower. She was fighting the paying out of a particular contract, which 2 days ago, the appeal has once again been struck down by the courts. Mm. So she was right all along. Yes. And she is still suspended. Boards have changed.
So did she want justice or vindication?
She wants justice.
Okay, so does she want her job back or does she want her money from the job?
She wants her job back.
Why would she want to be with people that are unethical, that she can't trust?
She wants them fired.
No, because she wants them fired.
So she wants more
ethical people. It's not revenge. It's what we want as a country. We want more people like her. More people who are willing to stand up and fight against the people who are chowing the mind.
I disagree with that.
What do you disagree with?
Yeah,
Hold on.
I disagree.
Just tell me the one thing you disagree with.
Yes, I disagree with the fact that we want, as a country, people to be whistleblowers and stand up to corruption. I believe we should want people not to be corrupt in powerful positions at all.
Yeah, that's the second thing that we want.
I also believe that.
But now that we have corrupt people, what do we want?
Also, I feel like we put two, you know, whistleblowers are people's parents.
And friends.
Yes.
My friends.
But the same people that want people to risk their livelihoods, their lives and their jobs are the same people who don't wake up to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, no. Instead of putting the responsibility in an account manager at the municipality in Mogale City, how about you wake up and go vote for different?
I couldn't agree with you more, but this is a whole problem we have with personal accountability.
The two things can all be correct, right? So yes, we want people to go and vote. This is my favorite hobby horse on this show.
So that's number one. After being a parent or before?
Before.
Wow, it's that important.
It is that important because it. You know why it is that important?
Your child can be
because
playing with, your child can be putting its fingers in the plug. But hey, I gotta go and vote.
Did you register?
Listen, the child with his fingers in the plug. If you don't vote, there's no electricity coming out of that plug, so
true.
It makes no difference.
Dang.
She just won the argument.
Right.
Yo, and that's why it. If the world is going to be right for my child,
yes.
Then I have to vote.
Yes. Right. So let's start there.
So yes, we want people to not be corrupt. Yes. Oh my God. This is what we all want. We all want the people in positions, decision-making positions, positions of power to change things in this country. We want them to be upstanding people. We want them to be people who know what they want, who know what to do, all of those things. But the world we live in today, the people in those spaces, are not that person. So what is the next line of defense?
Yeah, we have to start some
municipal workout, blowing the whistle and risking their lives.
Stop being an idealist. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
Gene. So just take the, no, I understand. Pumi's being practical. She's
Pumi.
If
Pumi
this
is like,
fails, then
Obos must direct traffic kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I hate Obos direct traffic.
Obos. Okay, listen, here's a good story.
I still call them that?
I think you can.
I do. I hate hobos who direct traffic.
Did you hear?
They put us all at risk.
What did they call them?
You know why I hate hobos who direct traffic?
Oh, look, now you've scratched a nerve.
Because,
Jesus,
for fuck's sakes, if we did not have corrupt Metro Police.
Yes, hobos wouldn't be directing traffic.
Because the fucking Metro Police would be directing
traffic. So the hobos are the whistleblowers of Metro Police.
No, they're not whistleblowers.
But they are exposing that they're not doing their job.
No, that's not what they're doing.
What are they doing?
They're creating havoc.
All right.
That's what the tenderpreneur said about your friend. You are creating havoc.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm going to go to something completely uncontroversial.
Yes.
Zimbabwe has braced itself for an influx of Zimbabweans back into Zimbabwe.
Oh my goodness.
Because a whole bunch of special permits in South Africa have expired.
So
the Zimbabwean government has set up subcommittees to handle returning citizens. I just want to show you their Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, whose name is Monica Mutsvanga. And she's sitting in front of what looks like a brick wall that has just been put up for this press conference. Because it doesn't look like this. it doesn't look like there's cement between the bricks. Okay, I just got to say, there's something. Look at that wall. Tell me that's a real wall.
Yeah, that wall looks like it wasn't built by Zimbabweans.
It was.
Because we've seen.
It wasn't because we've got lots of Zimbabweans building all over this country.
That wall could collapse on her at any minute. But here she is. She says most people living and working in South Africa under the Zimbabwean exemption permit system do not qualify for critical skills permits and is preparing for an influx of those returning citizens. These permits were meant to end on December the 31st of 2022, but the Department of Home Affairs, where we have all those corrupt people
who are sitting at home not working,
have extended them by a further 6 months to give Zimbabweans time to apply for other visas.
So June, they're coming back home.
Yeah, so they've got 6 months.
And even Zimbabwe doesn't want them back.
Well, they're preparing to get them back, but she added that the Zimbabwean government had set up a committee. You know what? There's always, we'll set up a committee who will talk about it, who will then set up
subcommittees.
And the subcommittees will then decide and arbitrate and reason and discuss and debate.
Yeah.
And then they will pass on messages to people in the, it never.
I thought we were going to an uncontroversial topic.
But here's my question. Why would a country prepare itself to have its citizens back?
Because of their incompetence, they chased the citizens out in the first place. I mean, a lot of Zimbabweans would probably much rather be with their families and friends who they don't have with them in Zimbabwe, right?
Yes.
But they're here because they have to be. Yeah. They have no option. There's nowhere else for them to earn money because that government has ruined their economy completely.
Okay.
So now we have to take that on. And now, I think
Uber Eats has to take that on.
Dude. Dude. Listen, these guys on these bikes.
Hey!
I mean, I obviously feel very sorry for
them and the hobos.
But I promise you, I would say a quarter of the accidents I've seen recently are these Uber Eats bikes.
Have you seen and all the people time one of the rear view mirrors taken out? Have you seen how many of those cars? Oh. You know who's taking out those rear view mirrors?
It's South
the
Africa.
Uber hobos. Eats guy overtaking on the wrong side, on the left-hand side.
You know, the other day, I saw an accident.
But someone needs their KFC, for God's sake.
That's what...
I mean, you're so unconcerned are you about hungry people.
Because I did see one of those accidents in Rivonia, and then I stopped. And my first instinct was, is that a quarter chicken mild? Then he said, no. I was like, howdy, boy.
And you just...
howdy, boy.
Never stop at an accident if it's not you who caused it.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of the way. These people who, first of all, the rubbernecking is a major problem. I've never understood why. Why? Yeah. What do you want to see a dead body?
Yes.
Go to the morgue. There's a whole bunch of them ready and waiting. You want to see dead bodies. What is it with this group?
Although it does depend. It does depend when you stop.
On what?
On where were you in relation to the accident happening?
No.
You were the first car and you see somebody get hit.
No, but I'm not saying, like, there are obviously reasons. Like, if you're on a deserted farm road and there's some young woman who's like screaming because her car's like, you know, tires burst, you've got to help her.
Okay.
Unless you're a complete asshole.
Okay.
But I'm saying those people on the highway, the accident happened 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
You were not involved.
Yeah, no, those ones are idiots.
But they want to slow down and they want
to see.
You see them standing, they cross their arms and they're like checking it out
on
the side of the highway. Like, who are these people? Don't they have a...
I'm not going to allow you to get away with that one. I'm coming back for you.
All right, well, we've only got like 10 minutes with...
So I must go for him now.
Yeah, go for him now. Don't waste your time. Just warning you in advance.
Save the energy. Please.
Listen, we don't need
the
to go.
The former mayor is coming.
The other headlines
are
completely...
But enough energy for you and her.
The other headlines are completely unimportant. One of them we will bring up with Paul later. There are attempts to elect a new mayor in Ekurhuleni, which have been unsuccessful. But
It's going on for... It went on all day yesterday. Still haven't...
The politics of power. and then Boris Johnson is attending... COP27. Who cares that Boris Johnson is a attempt? First of all, who's going to COP27? And they're having it in Egypt this year. Nobody cares. And then why is Boris? He's not prime minister.
Yes.
What is he going to?
COP number bunny?
27. And then Tinder.
Yes.
This is the only other thing I wanted us to refer to.
Still exists.
Tinder is a nectar of the gods.
There are people. More people. More people are paying for Tinder now, despite the cost of living crisis in the world, than ever before. This is why Elon is right to charge people if they want to keep their verified status. And if they want to moan and complain the whole time. Like he says, you get nothing for nothing. You have to pay for something. If something doesn't get paid for, it's worthless.
You are saying Tinder is the nectar of the gospel. They're Tinder in PE.
You know, people fought in the struggle for Tinder to exist. We don't know what it is, but the day it happens, we want it for our children's children to browse eligible bachelors and bachelorettes just free willy-nilly with 5 rand data. We want that to
have
swipe left, swipe right, mtate myege, send a heart emoji, read the profile. Tinder.
Answer the question, Baba. Even on the PE.
Yes.
Was the Tinder in PE? Were you swiping right?
I was having the time anywhere I go in the world. The attraction that will tell me how great that city is, Tinder. Just log on there and see what you get there. That will tell you 100%.
Yo. I don't know. I promise you can
look at my
phone
Tinder? Now.
I've never had any of those dating apps on my phone. There's not a one of them.
Not even one?
Are you showing us? Please show us. How does one?
I am going to download
Tinder after this.
No, look for. But I've got friends who are addicted to this thing. Like I am to social media.
Yes.
They will.
What is that?
No. So some of them.
What does that entail?
Well, it
being addicted to Tinder.
So what you
don't stop being
like you become a serial dater.
Yes.
you become like this one friend of mine. He sets up appointments. I kid you not. He's got a diary and he's like, well, Wednesday night, I'll see this girl from Tinder. Thursday night, I'll see this one. Friday night, I'll see this one. And he's, I mean, sometimes they go really well, but it's like the same success or hit rate that you would have in the real world, but it's amplified.
Yes.
Because there's this pool of people who you don't have to physically meet.
Yes.
So he says it's very sick. Other people have said
you
it's
don't have to
absolute disaster.
Meet.
No, you don't have to.
So yeah, how, is it like a Zoom date?
No, you don't have to. It's just people saying.
You match.
Yes. Then you match, and then you test your skills as a man. You're like, ha, I still have it. And then you live your life normally.
But can you? But you're a well-known guy. So yes. When people
which, do you, so which, do you which have makes a secret it more profile?
Fun. No, which makes it more fun because people don't think it's real. So I'm like, yeah, really. They're like, I would have never. Then I was like, yeah, Nami. They're like, yeah, we caught you. And I'm like, ah, oh, you caught me.
Oh, okay, but yeah. Now what are you going to go and tell someone? You've just told us anyway.
Go and report us to the moral police. We are, yes, I think. You're not on Tinder?
No.
Why? Even Zoliga Mandela's on Tinder. Mm. And she doesn't have much.
That's six kids.
Oh, I thought...
What do you mean she doesn't have much? She's
fine.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
She said it.
All right. Well, there we go. There's some
controversy for you fresh in
beautiful.
The morning.
I knew we wouldn't be let down.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, Mayor Papalatu.
All right. But now let's give your show a proper plug here because we want, you're making a documentary about it. It would be a horrible documentary. And the last scene in the documentary and three people did pitch up according to his prophetic words. Eugene Koza was standing on stage addressing his daughter and two friends.
His cameraman.
Yeah, and his cameraman. All right, so let's get this done properly. So yes. Eugene is doing a once-off show. Mm-hmm. It's happening this week. Mm-hmm. You need to buy your tickets. Now, what's the best place to buy a ticket?
Ticket Pro.
How much are the tickets?
They start at $150 all the way to $250.
Oh, that is perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, people will pay a Tinder subscription and get no ass at all. This time you will get to laugh and have real comedy and even use some of Eugene's lines to get, because he's clearly successful on Tinder. So even if you have no reason to go and listen to comedy, you think your life is funny and interesting enough, go to his show because you will get successful pickup lines for Tinder.
I'm a successful Tinderpreneur.
Please call your next show Tinderpreneur. Please do it. Jesus, that'll be good. Oh my God, sell out.
What's this show called?
It's called Step Aside. Yeah, because we
are
applying.
You hoping people will step aside?
No, we're applying the step aside rule because, you know.
The ANC step aside.
Yes. So I feel like comedy space has been left, you know, in very disrepair. We have 9 wasted years of comedy. So I feel like all of those who are implicated must just step aside until they are cleared.
When did the wasted years start?
Started 9.
I want to know who was responsible. You know how they blame the 10 wasted years on Zuma? They're like, Zuma was the bad guy.
Even comedy has its own Zuma.
Yeah.
They know themselves. So we're asking them as a movement to step aside until they are cleared and then they can come back later.
Oh my God, that's funny. Listen, dude, I saw David Gao the other day.
Aibo, is he?
What do you mean? What were you going to say? Finish that sentence.
Mm-mm.
No, finish that sentence. I'm prepared to answer any questions.
I'm just asking.
Comrade, I am here. I'm ready to answer. I am not going to take cover under comrades who have already been arrested. Go on. What did you want to say about David?
I'm just saying that there was a very close, like in a small split second between there is a leader who is to blame for the 9 years and how quickly you said I saw David Gao the other day.
No, because he's an OG.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
He's one of the great. So I'm thinking if you talk about comedy in South Africa, there are only about 3 or 4 names that you have to mention.
Yes.
And David is one of them because he's an absolute OG.
And I got to see his new set a month ago. Jesus, he's totally brilliant.
And dude,
I'm not going to lie.
Did he make me laugh?
Yeah.
About lockdown and the coronavirus command council.
That's the dice. Oh, yeah, Jesus. He's very good.
He's
not gonna lie.
You know, the government can come and they can take away everything from you, but they can never take away that. David Gao, if they took away everything from him, he would be able to start again and build it all up again.
There we go.
I think he's fantastic on Takalani Sesame. He's doing Takalani Sesame.
As who?
Really?
Yeah, as like the uncle.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you're lying now.
Why would I lie about
this? Look who's here. Canthan.
Guys, I got to say something about this.
Yes. What?
Okay, I was going through a stack of cassettes. You remember cassettes?
Haibo.
Oh. Yes, okay. And I've been digitizing stuff that, you know.
You want to keep.
Yeah, and I found a demo tape that David Carl sent to YFM in 2007.
Please bring it to me. We'll listen to it together with him live on the show.
I've digitized it. I will send it through to you.
Please, that'll be so. I will not play it until he's in the studio.
Brilliant.
Tell me what day that's happening.
Oh my God, that'll be great.
You and your crew, yeah?
So, all right, Eugene, we've got the show this coming Friday.
This Friday at Lyric Theatre.
At the Lyric Theatre, you can get the tickets and Ticket Pro.
Yes,
they're very, very goedkoop.
That's it.
This is not, I mean, what can you get these days that's valuable, that's really good for under 150 Rand? There's just,
Uber Eats.
Canthan, even those cheap lunches which we go to that you found the special for.
Where's that, Canthan?
They're more expensive than.
They're more expensive than this.
Yeah.
We go for a steak. Listen to this.
Yeah.
I've done this now 3 times with you.
Uh huh.
Go for a steak. He's found the best places. Steak and chips and starter.
Uh huh.
For?
Around about 160.
So it's 10 Rand more than your show. But your show, but your show is longer.
Yes.
And you have more fun.
Yeah. And it's just vegan friendly.
Exactly. Right. I love this. All right. So, dude, good luck with the show. I'm sure you don't need it, but it's going to be terrific.
Thank you so much, Lyric.
And always good to spend time with you. Thank you.
I love spending time with you. Thank you so much. And welcome back home, man.
Yeah. Thanks. It's good to be back in the studio. Everybody's saying how much they like it. We don't have that delay with the, sorry, Pumi, you wanted to say something. You could, you know, it's irritating, right?
Yeah, look, I miss the body language cues.
All right, go. Do yourself a favor. Spend just 10 minutes speaking to Muzi Kuzwayo outside.
I did.
It'll make your whole week.
I did. That's what happened before I came in here.
Yeah, okay, good. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
100%.
You don't need to do that now. All right.
100%.
What an absolute gent he is, huh?
I love it.
Amazing. All right, David Carl, I mean, Jesus Christ. As I said, it.
I would pay 150 bucks. For
Eugene Quazza. Eugene Quazza. I'm sorry, my friend. Jesus, we were talking about David.
Woo. Well,
sorry, I can't excuse that.
Man,
listen,
he's making you. He's anointing you into an ancestor.
Well, you are one
he's
of the OGs.
He's making you one of an OG. OG.
He's been an OG, but that's no excuse. All right. Listen, thank you so much for coming
in.
I really love having you here. We'll talk again soon. And next time you rent some house in PE, don't be so selfish. Invite us. We can come down. You had all these rooms you didn't use.
I mean, really.
We could have had a holiday on you.
Next time, Malibu.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, now we're talking serious money. It's 18 Rand. If you've got that kind of money.
We're putting it out there in the universe, Gareth. Anything is
Malibu.
Possible.
Malibu.
I like it. Listen,
Eugene, we
better get to Malibu before, you know, COP27, because they're about to tell us that it's going to be washed away and all that shit that Al Gore put in that movie, that nothing's happened. He told us Venice would be underwater. Yeah. Is Venice underwater?
Last time I was there, no.
No. Are the polar bears' numbers declining? No. They're actually growing.
There's this albino brown bear.
Uh-oh.
You know, that lives in Canada.
I have a feeling this story is going to end in bloodshed.
Yeah. They keep flying this guy up to Alaska because they think he's a polar bear. And then he walks all the way down and then they trank him and fly him back up. It's really sad.
Oh, my God. That sounds like it should turn into an apartheid joke.
Yeah.
Albino
now.
Brown bear gets sent away.
Albino brown bear.
Exactly. This sounds like it should be. There should be a race joke in this. Eugene, go and work on it.
I will.
Got the makings of something here. All right. Thank you, everybody. It's just after 7 o'clock. The Burning Platform is coming up next. We have the mayor of Johannesburg, Mpopalatse, with us. And Canthan is back for an in-studio reunion along with Pumi and I. So stick around, cliffcentral.com. Thursday morning.
Cliffcentral.com.